The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 34, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 30th, 2012, at Lord Shiva Temple in St. Paul, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Upadekshanti te jnanam ganinas tatvadarshinah. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purport. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharmanta Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the bona fide spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Sita Bada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vita Tamsajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, I have not come here tonight to your Lord Shiva temple to give you my opinion. I have come to deliver to you the message of the great Acharyas. I have no power to invent anything. But I can honestly tell you what I have heard from my spiritual master. He has told me what he honestly heard from his spiritual master. Who honestly told what he heard from his spiritual master. Back all the way to the original Guru. So in this way, we have to hear from the bona fide spiritual master. Not from that person who invents something. Just like in India, there is a system for harvesting mangoes. The mango fruit is very nice fruit. But if it is bruised, it is not very nice. So when they harvest the mangoes, they put some workers up and down the tree, you see. One worker, he will climb high up in the tree, you see. He will carefully pick that mango. He will hand it to the next worker. And he will hand it to the next worker. Who hands it to the next worker. In this way it comes to the ground without any bruise. Very nice mango, you see. It's not that they simply take some stick and they cut it off the tree and it, boom, it falls on the ground, you see. Such a mango would be useless. So in the same way, spiritual knowledge must be very carefully handed down from guru to disciple, guru to disciple, guru to disciple.
Nous
This system, it is called Guru Parampara system. It is described in chapter 4, text number 2 of the Bhagavad Gita. Why are we citing Bhagavad Gita? In India, everyone accepts Bhagavad Gita as authoritative knowledge. And it is accepted by all the great acharyas. Lord Shiva, he has appeared as Shankaracharya. And he also accepts the authority of Bhagavad Gita. So, it is common authority accepted by everyone, Bhagavad Gita. Lord Shiva accepts, the followers of Lord Krishna accept, everyone accepts Bhagavad Gita. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. One must follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas, the great Mahajanas. Since all the great acharyas have accepted the authority of Bhagavad Gita, we are also taking authority of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains in 4:2 Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam marjashayo vidu. This knowledge was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. So, if you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, you must hear through the disciplic succession. Because Bhagavad Gita is a very popular book. Many people, they will give their own opinion and they will say this is Bhagavad Gita. But that is cheating. You cannot twist the words of Krishna. You have to take what Krishna says as authority. Krishna says, Man manava mamad bhakto majajimang namaskuru mam vaishashi yuktvai vang atmanang matparayanaha. He says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Worship me, offer obeisances unto me. In this way, becoming fully absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Some commentators who are not following the disciplic succession system, they say, no, it is not Krishna to whom you should become a devotee. Even though Krishna directly says, become my devotee, they say, no, do not become the devotee of Krishna. That's what they say. Such rascal commentaries will divert us away from the actual teachings of Krishna. Therefore, we must hear from the bona fide spiritual master. The verse that we have selected tonight for speaking on emphasizes the importance of Guru. Because unless you have a bona fide spiritual master, you are lost. According to Vedic wisdom, you must have Guru. This is described in the Mundaka Upanishad. Tad viganartam sagurum eva bigatschat. If you want to know the absolute truth, then you must approach Guru. If you have studied Sanskrit grammar, then you know there are different verbal endings. It's like there is the word gacchati, he goes. If you change it to gacchanti, it begins they go. And if you change it to gacchat, it means must go. So that form, it is called, when you say must gacchat, that is called the vidhi lin form of the verb. When the vidhi lin form is used, there is no choice, there is no option. You absolutely must do it. So the Mundaka Upanishad says you absolutely must go to Guru if you want to know the absolute truth. You have to, there's no choice. Our Guru Maharaj gives a very nice example. There are two types of dogs. Especially in India, we see the difference. Two types of dog. There is dog with a master, and there is street dog. Now in Vrindavan, I have seen the dogs without masters. They are really skinny, like walking skeletons. They have skin disease, their hair has fallen off, they have no hair. And they have wounds all over their bodies from fighting with other street dogs. They are so pitiful creatures. When you see them, you just want to cry. You feel so sorry for the poor creatures. And in India, I've also seen another type of dog. If you go to Mumbai, Juhu Beach, where all the movie stars and the multi-millionaires live, in the morning they come down to the beach on their morning walk. And they keep dog just like Westerners keep dog. They keep dog, you see. So their dogs are big, stout, strong, and jolly dogs. Because they have master, you see. So there are two types of dog, anatta and sadnatta. A dog with a master and a dog without a master. So if you have guru, you're like a dog with a master. And if you don't have guru, you're like dog without master. Therefore, you should take guru. Krishna says you must seek out a bona fide spiritual master. And what do you do when you approach Guruji? Pradipatena. You should offer your obeisances, bow down at his feet. That now, Guru Maharaj, I am your surrendered disciple. Pariprasna, then you inquire from Guru. It's not some blind following. You must You must fully and satisfy your intelligence. To know what is the science of God? Who am I? What is my actual identity? Where have I come from? How have I taken birth in this country? How can I receive liberation from the cycle of birth and death? By inquiring from Guru Maharaj, you can gain full knowledge about what is your situation and how you can live your life perfectly to achieve Shreya Uttamam, the ultimate happiness. And then Krishna says, Sevaya, with service. You have to serve Guru. Not that you simply take knowledge and you don't give any service. Why? Why does Krishna say that? Because this is not ordinary academic knowledge. This is realized knowledge. It is realized to the extent that one takes the mood of humble service to Guru and Krishna, or Guru and God, to that extent that you take the humble service mood to Guru and the Supreme Lord, to that extent you actually realize the absolute truth. You see, we are the eternal servants of God. That is our actual identity. Having forgotten that, now we are trying to be the independent enjoyers in this world. And we are failing in that attempt. Even the most powerful, wealthy, famous people in this world are also miserable. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 8, text number 16. Ah, Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartinarjuna Mamupechita Kaunteya Punarjanmana Vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, Purnarjanmanavidyate, he never takes birth again. So the Guru is very important. He gives you the ticket to go back to the spiritual world. The Guru, he is the transcendental travel agent. But maybe you can get that ticket, how to go back to Vaikuntha, the spiritual existence. So please, my dear ladies and gentlemen, do not neglect the great value of your human life. Now you have the golden opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. If you will take advantage of the bona fide spiritual master, this will be your last birth in this material world. And if you don't take advantage, your karma will take you who knows where. Because we are so much puppies in this modern age, we are all going to animal kingdom in our next life. To become dogs, monkeys, snakes, baboons, elephants, Orangutans. You don't know the orangutan? Yeah. Gorillas. Cats. Fish. Birds. We are going down to the animal kingdom on our next life. In the Vishnu Purana, we learn there are 8,400,000 species of life. In Sanskrit language, it is very clearly explained. Jalaja Navalakshani Stavada Lakshavinkshati Krimayo Rudra Sankhyaka Pakshinam Dashalakshanam Trinchalakshani Parshavaha Chaturlakshani Manashaha. Clearly described in the Sanskrit language. Jalaja, born in the water. Navalakshani, 9 lakhs. So in this way, all the species are listed. So this human life is especially meant for self-realization. If you do not utilize this human life for self-realization, you go down to the animal kingdom. That's a fact. Therefore, I am encouraging you all, please use this human life for self-realization. Do not simply engage in animalistic activities of material sense gratification. As is stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have a human form. Therefore you must utilize it to inquire about the Absolute Truth. So now I can see what questions are there. The first question is, what if someone engages in sinful life and regrets afterwards? Does God forgive? Yes, if you give up your sinful activities. Not that I continue sinning and continue asking God for forgiveness. God is not stupid. If you're sincere, you will give up your sinful activities. What about the different yugas and explain about events in the Kali Yuga in which we are living? Just like we have 4 seasons of the year, spring, summer, winter, and fall, there are also 4 yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, Kali Yuga. This is the winter age, Kali Yuga. It is the most materialistic age. But there is a special benediction in this age. That in this age you will chant the holy names of God. Even if you cannot do great austerities as a yogi in the Himalayas, if you can simply chant the holy names of God, then you can become perfect and achieve the spiritual world. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to chant the names of God. He said that any name of God is sufficient to purify you. His personal preference was to chant these names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Therefore, we like to chant those names. I am sent some years in the ISKCON group. My husband is favorable, but I know that I am progressing quickly, but he is left behind. What do you suggest? I want my family to be devotees of Krishna. The fact that your husband is favorable in allowing you to practice Krishna consciousness means he is making progress just by allowing you to practice it. Continue to encourage him. And be very thankful you have such a favorable husband, because many husbands are inimical to their spouse practicing Krishna consciousness. You should thank Krishna you have a favorable husband. And be patient with him. He will gradually become Krishna conscious by your association. There are many people who take shelter from Guru, but they don't want to take initiation. Now that's called hypocrisy. Yes, half-hand logic. In Hindi, it is said, Ardha kukuti nyaya. You see, half-hand logic. There was one farmer. He had very nice hen. This hen laid very, very nice eggs. And he could take those eggs to the market. They were the best eggs, big eggs, you see. He could get many rupees for those eggs, many, many rupees for those eggs. He was very, very happy. He was getting such big, big eggs from the hen. You see. But he had one complaint about his hen. This hen eats too much. So he thought, how to solve this problem? So he said, well, this end of the hen that lays the egg, that is very nice. But this end that eats, it is not very good. So he said, I know what I will do. I will cut off the head of the hen. And this way I will get all the eggs. I won't have to feed the hen anymore. Just see what a foolish rascal he was, you see. So he cut off the hen's head, and then he couldn't figure out why he wasn't getting eggs anymore. So you want to take shelter of Guru. You want the eggs, but you don't want to feed also. You want the benefit of Guru, but you don't want to serve Guru. Yes, Guruji, I will take your blessings. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Yes, Guruji, give me your blessings, Guruji. But I don't want to surrender to you, Guruji. No, I don't want to chant the mala. I don't want to follow any rules and regulations. I just want your blessings, Guruji. Well, you just killed your relationship with Guru. Yeah, sorry. You are a Ardha Kukuti Nyayi, a half-hand logician, and you will not get the result. If you want the true blessings of Guru Maharaj, you must surrender to Guru Maharaj. Initiation is a vow that now I accept your order as my life and soul. Dear Maharaj, thank you for reading the verse from Bhagavad Gita tonight. It's the first time I'm listening to such a lecture. But how to recognize my guru? Where to find him? How to recognize guru? That is described in that verse I cited from Mundaka Upanishad. I gave you only the first part of the verse, and I will give you the entire verse. Tad viganartam sagurum eva bhagachat samit pranahi shrotiyam brahmanishtam. So this is how you recognize guru, shrotiyam brahmanishtam. Shrotiyam means he has heard the Vedic wisdom. And he perfectly presents to his audience the Vedic wisdom. That is Shrotiyam. And the second point is Brahmanishtam. He is solidly fixed in Krishna Bhakti. 24 hours a day, he does nothing but serve Krishna or God. It's not that on Wednesday night he gives very nice lecture on Bhagavad Gita. And on Thursday night he goes to the cinema.
No.
He has no business except Krishna business. That is Guru. So, that's how you recognize him. And where do you go to find him? Actually, my dear ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to go anywhere to find him. Because when you are ready for the Guru, when you are sincere that you want to serve God, you want to become perfect in spiritual knowledge, the Lord within your heart, Chaitya Guru, he will manifest before you as the spiritual master. You will see the Guru before your very eyes. When you are ready, the Guru will come to you. You will see him with your very eyes, you will hear him with your very ears, and Krishna within your heart will tell you, yes, now I have found my spiritual master. Next question. Why do we have to lay so much emphasis on the concept of liberation? Surely with the help of a guru, when our main aim is to serve Krishna, our main aim is to serve Lord Krishna wherever we are. Why are we thirsty of this eagerness to go back to Godhead when the most vital thing is to be bestowed with the grace of Krishna? In other words, it appears they're asking, why are we so concerned about being liberated from birth and death? Actually, isn't serving Krishna the only real desire that we should have? Actually, that is the pure desire. I will serve God wherever I am, it doesn't matter. I can serve him in Mauritius, I can serve him in New York, I can serve him in the spiritual world, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm serving the Lord, that's what counts. That is the proper mood. That mood guarantees you won't take breath again. So you don't have to worry about being liberated if you just surrender fully to Krishna and do whatever Krishna wants, you're already liberated. Dear Maharaj, can you please explain the difference in ISKCON and the so-called ISKCON reform movement, IRM, or the Ritvik who is criticizing many devotees? That's the question. ISKCON is a very, very successful movement which is spreading all over the world like wildfire. There are some split-off groups that want to, who are criticizing us. That's a bit. This happens in every big spiritual movement. Just like from the Catholic Church, the Protestant movement broke off. So similarly from ISKCON, this so-called ISKCON reform movement is split off, you see. So who's right? Is the ISKCON right or is the ISKCON reform movement right? That's the question. The leader of the ISKCON reform movement was a youth who attended our programs at the ISKCON temple in London, Bhaktivedanta Manor. Gujarati boy, Krishna can't decide his name. Now, as a young boy, he refused to call his parents his mother and father. He wanted to call them by their first names. Now, how do your children call you or your parents? Do they call you by your first names or do they call you mother and father? Do your children call you mother and father by the first name? Is that how you raise your children here in Mauritius? They call you by your first name? No? That's disrespectful, you see. Even in America, which is so far removed from Vedic culture, I never would dream of calling my parents by their first name. There was always mother and father, you see. Even in America, that was our training, you see. But this boy, he insisted on calling them by their first name. He didn't want to respect them as superior to him, you see. So he started this Ritvik movement. Because he didn't want to respect any authority. And he found some, he's very expert like an attorney in juggling words. He found some way to juggle words to make it appear that the ISKCON authorities are wrong and he is right. But his arguments are fallacious. I had a debate with him on an internet conference one time. His argument is that only Prabhupada can be guru. None of Prabhupada's disciples can be guru. But I Sankarshan Das, was personally encouraged by Prabhupada to become a guru. So I asked this Krishna Khan, I said, Prabhupada encouraged me to be guru. You're telling me I can't be a guru. Who am I supposed to listen to, you or Prabhupada? He couldn't reply. Because either way, he's defeated. He says you should listen to Prabhupada. That means that yes, you can become guru. If he says don't listen to Prabhupada, listen to me, then obviously he's a nonsense. So either way he's defeated, and he had to just be quiet. That's all he can do. He never took diksha from anyone. He's still Krishna Kant Desai. He's not initiated by anybody. And he's the leader of this Vritvik movement. These Vritviks their philosophy is so crazy. We know one devotee who follows the Vritvik philosophy. He told us, one of our relatives, he told them, all you have to do to be, you go to Vrindavan and you take your bead bag and you touch it to Prabhupada's samadhi in Vrindavan. And by doing that, you'll become an initiated disciple of Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada said on October 18th, 1977, just days before his departure, Prabhupada said, I'm not going to accept any more disciples. That he declared he would not accept any more disciples. He directly said, I will not take any more disciples. No. And he then instructed that his disciples should start taking the disciples. So how they think that they can become disciples of Prabhupada when he said, I'm not taking any more disciples? It's crazy. They even have a magazine called Back to Prabhupada, which is nothing but blasphemy of this kind's gurus, you see. They've also sometimes published me also in their Back to Prabhupada magazine, criticizing me. They said that I am crying because my disciples don't give me a Rolls Royce car. Now, have any of you ever seen, I have many disciples here in Mauritius. Now, I can ask my disciples, did I ever complain to you that you didn't pick me up at the airport in a Rolls Royce car?
No, never.
Tonight, Sanjay drove me here, you see. Did I complain to you did not bring me in a Rolls Royce car? You see. I've never complained. Oh, why are you not bringing Rolls Royce car? I've ever complained like that? But in their magazine, they have published that I am very disturbed that they're not bringing me Rolls Royce car. It's a completely concocted thing. Completely concocted. You see? So this is their movement. It's based on lies and deception. Huh?
Vaishnavas are humble and they respect others. But this group always criticizes.
A Vaishnava is meant to glorify other Vaishnavas, but their magazine is simply Vaishnava Aparad, one page after another page. It's another Aparad after another Aparad after another Aparad. Their whole magazine is simply Aparad, and they think they're a legitimate spiritual movement. I mean, it's obviously they're obviously just snakes. That's all they are. They're a bunch of snakes, these Vritvik people. So the next question is, explain why do we have to stay fixed in devotional service and not deviate? You don't have to. Devotional service is voluntary. If you don't want to stay fixed in devotional service, you can deviate if you want to. If you don't mind coming back as an animal in your next birth, you can deviate as much as you want. But if you want to achieve spiritual, if you want to be guaranteed at least have a human birth, and on the higher end of the scale, to achieve the spiritual world, then you should not deviate at all from devotional service. Next question. Dear Maharaj Hare Krishna, why is it that there are many who are favorable to our movement, but still are very hesitant to join us or be called a member of the Hare Krishna? They don't want to be considered strange. That's why. The fact is that we Hare Krishna people, we are considered to be strange by the ordinary people. Actually, we must be considered strange. Because they are all material and we are spiritual, so naturally they would think, oh, they are very strange. How to recognize the bona fide spiritual master? He only presents the teachings of Krishna as confirmed in the Vedic literatures. He never concocts anything. What happens to one who dies in the mode of ignorance, not knowing Krishna? They take birth in the animal kingdom in their next life. I was watching a documentary on Srila Prabhupada, where the disciples were worshipping Srila Prabhupada's feet with milk. But according to Vedic religion, Hindu religion, milk is very sacred and offered to the Lord. Do you think it should be used to wash the lotus, wash feet of a human being? With all respect, all the basins of Srila Prabhupada, the lotus feet of the spiritual master are as sacred as Krishna. Just as we can bathe the deity of Krishna with milk, we can also bathe the spiritual master's feet with milk. How can we be sure that the message of the Bhagavad Gita has not been distorted by the disciplic succession? If it's distorted, that's not disciplic succession. Actually, the authenticity of Bhagavad Gita is confirmed by Prabhupada. And if you would like to personally verify yourself, you can do them. All you have to do is follow it and see what happens. How do you know the authenticity of a recipe for banana bread? How do you know a banana bread recipe is bona fide? You follow the recipe. And when you get first class banana bread, you know it's a good recipe. So I've been following Bhagavad Gita for 41 years, and I can tell you it's a really good recipe. It works. Okay, now do you have a point?
Yeah, we can understand that disciplic succession is not just like you gave the example. That by the result, if you get the Krishna Bhakti, that means you have, it's not distorted. But if you have
that's right.
not result, you don't get that result of Krishna Bhakti.
That's right. If you get Krishna bhakti by following Gita, then that's the proof that it's bona fide. What is service to Guru? What kind of service should the disciples render to his or her Guru to make him pleased and satisfied? Well, you can make sure the Guru has proper prasadam, he has a proper place to stay, he has clothes to wear, etc. You can help with his travel expenses, some contribution, or drive him to his programs. Just like someone has made sure my water cup is filled up. You know, there's so many personal things that you can do. Another, and even more important, is to know what is the mission of the spiritual master. To spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So if you can assist the spiritual master by telling other people about Krishna, that is the greatest service to the spiritual master. Bodily service depends on his physical presence. But serving his mission, that doesn't require his physical presence. So that's why the most important service is to understand the mission of the spiritual master, to make the whole world Krishna conscious, and to serve that mission. That is the best service to the spiritual master. Are animals in Vrindavan, or any other dham, as elevated as the human form of life? In the original Goloka Vrindavan, yes. In the Vrindavan on this planet, no. The Guru is very loving to the disciple. He's considering the disciple as a dog, love. No one said the disciple is a dog. It was simply a simile, an example. Do you all think that I said the disciples are dogs? I never said the disciples are dogs. It's just an example, a simile. Actually, the spiritual master, he considers himself to be a dog. That's why he wears the dog collar, you see. Kanti Mala is his dog collar. Spiritual master considers himself to be the dog of God. He never thinks that his disciples are dogs. He considers his disciples to be representatives of Srila Prabhupada. That Prabhupada has sent me so many people to assist me in preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. That's how the spiritual master's vision of the disciples. Srila Prabhupada has established 11 Maharajas. Some have fallen down and passed away. They have not been replaced yet. Now wait a minute. This is very much a misunderstanding. There was much more than 11 sannyasis established by Prabhupada. There was more than 11 sannyasis. It's not that there was only 11 sannyasis in the step given by in ISKCON. There's so many sannyasis in ISKCON, not just 11. And it's not that only sannyasis can become spiritual masters. That's another misunderstanding. In our morning class, we are studying in the Bhagavatam at the Phoenix ISKCON temple. We're studying the pastime of Krishna and Sandipani Muni.
Dans finished the class of Bhagavatam, we pay Bhagavan Krishna Su Guru, Sandipani Muni.
Sandipani Muni is the spiritual master of Krishna.
Sandipani Muni is the spiritual of Bhagavan Krishna.
And Sandipani Muni is a married man. So someone thinks only sannyasi can be a guru, then they don't understand the Vedic wisdom at all. They have no understanding. Prabhupada actually instructed that all of his disciples who were strictly following him should become spiritual masters. That was his instruction. So some of the gurus, they turned out not to be very good. They fell down from their practice. And their disciples gave them up, understanding the spiritual master was not actually proper. And many other gurus, very wonderful gurus, have come now in our society. We have over 80 gurus now. So we have full facility. So many gurus all over the world now preaching Krishna consciousness in our ISKCON movement. So we have certainly replaced, more than replaced, any that fell by the wayside. Huh? Louder, please.
Whoever's question is that should meet with you privately and then
yes.
It can be discussed.
The person who asks can meet with me privately. I can give more help. There's a second question they have is how to identify a bona fide spiritual master. He has been ordered by his guru to become guru. That's another way you can see. So, did Prabhupada order his disciples to become gurus? He told us in Los Angeles, become guru and deliver the whole world. So what does that sound like to you? If Prabhupada says, become guru and deliver the whole world, does that mean Prabhupada ordered me to become guru? No? Become guru and deliver the whole world. The guru says, become guru and deliver the whole world. Well, he didn't tell me to become a guru, did he? No, of course he didn't. How can you say that? He said directly, become guru. The guru says, bring me a glass of water. What are you going to do? Bring him milk? So the guru says, become guru and deliver the whole world. That means you now must become guru and deliver the whole world. That's his order. The third question, can a Mataji become a guru? Yes. We see in Vaishnavi history, the wife of Lord Nityananda, Janava Mata, she became big, big, big Vaishnava Acharya in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Big, big Acharya. She had so many disciples. Yes, a Mataji can definitely become guru. But it's not that being a Mataji is the qualification for becoming a guru. Well, there are so many men gurus, so since I'm a woman, therefore that's my qualification to become a guru, because I'm a woman. Not like that. Because there are male gurus, therefore now there also must be an equal number of female gurus to keep everything even. You see? That's not correct philosophy. One has to be qualified to become guru, you see. A gender, male or female gender, neither gender qualifies one to become guru. One of the qualifications to become guru is to not identify with gender, you see. If I identify, I am male or I am female, that is my disqualification to become guru, you see. So when someone says, well, I'm a woman, therefore you have to make me a guru because I'm a woman, She is showing that she is completely disqualified to be a spiritual master. The qualification is, I'm not this body. One has to be firmly fixed in Brahman consciousness that I'm not this body. And purely transmit the teachings heard from one's spiritual master, then one becomes qualified to become guru. Maharaj, my humble obeisances, what happens to the disciple when the guru leaves his body? What should he do? The first thing you should do is cry. That is the duty of the spiritual master, of the disciple. When his guru leaves the planet, he should cry like a baby. That's the first duty, you see. And then he should take solace in the orders he had received from his spiritual master. And in that way, he becomes reconnected with his spiritual master. By accepting the order of his spiritual master as his life and soul, the spiritual master eternally resides within the heart of the disciple. Maharaj, my humble obeisances, please elaborate on 100% submission of the disciple to his spiritual master. And then there's an arrow to flip it over and look at side two. If the student under the shelter feels that he is being hit by a tsunami of lust, worse than Japan intermittently, will it not be by praying and too early to surrender? Because the disciple doesn't wish to be a shameful disciple, though the idea that his relationship with the guru is being killed kills him. In other words, this person wants to be a devotee, but he's being completely—he has a tsunami of lust going on in his heart, worse than the Japanese tsunami. So he should approach the spiritual master and say, "Guru Maharaj, I want to surrender to you. I want to follow these principles, but I'm so bewildered by lust. Please help me get out of this lust." That the spiritual master is very powerful. He possesses Krishna Shakti. And his words can liberate the disciple. They have the power to liberate the disciple from all of his material consciousness. One simply has to humbly approach the spiritual master and explain to him what is the difficulties. And then the spiritual master will give profound words of wisdom to liberate the disciple. Clarify, please. The minute decision is ours. The minute decision is ours, and not a blade of grass can be moved without his permission. It's a fact that everything is moving under the direction of Krishna. Not even a little blade of grass can move without his sanction. And at the same time, you have your free will, whether you will surrender to Krishna or you will not surrender to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna is sanctioning you that you can surrender to Him right now. But He's not forcing you to do that. So the free will and the sanction is there. Within Krishna's sanction, the free will is there. Just like the government, they are controlling. They control the free citizens, and they control the criminals also in the prison. Both of them act under the sanction of the government. But you have your choice which set of sanctions you're going to work under. Would you like to work under the sanctions for the free citizens? Or would you prefer to work under the sanctions for the inmates in the prison? In either case, the government sanctions are acting. But you have your choice which sanctions you want to function under. Yes.
The previous question about the material desires and lusty desires more greater than tsunami, where you said the spiritual master, he can reveal the heart to the spiritual master and the spiritual master can guide him.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
Yes. The spiritual master may guide. My question is, the spiritual master may guide him, but it depends, doesn't it depend on the student? Whether he accepts it or not.
Yes, the spiritual master will give all guidance to the disciple to overcome his lust. And now it's up to the disciple whether he has the free will whether to follow these Guru Maharaj's instructions or not. If he follows strictly Guru Maharaj's instructions, he will become liberated from that lust. But if he does not follow Guru Maharaj's instructions, he remains a slave of lust. That's a fact. That's a fact. Okay, another question. Dear Maharaj, I am following the Krishna consciousness movement since some time. Dear Maharaj, I'm following the Krishna consciousness movement since some time, but I find it difficult to follow all the rules and regulations. Please advise. This is a personal consultation is required. The first thing I would ask you is, which one do you like the best? Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Which is your favorite sinful activity? And then from there, we can see what we can do to help you get free from it, you see. For some people, it may be cigarettes. For some people, it may be having sex, you see. Everybody has their vice. It's, you know, those who are not fixed in Krishna consciousness, they have their vices. So what vice is your strongest desire right now? And we can see about helping you get free from it. But the real secret of success is you have to get a higher taste. You have to go deep into the ocean of the names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you will dive deeply into this ocean of the names, you will taste so much nectar, you forget about your cigarettes. You forget about having sex. You'll forget about that bottle of beer or that glass of wine or buying that lottery ticket or that Kentucky Fried. You just got to get a taste for the name. That's it. So our time has run out. And I thank you all very much. You've been a very good audience tonight. Everyone's been listening nicely throughout the whole room. I can see you all very tuned in and listening. I appreciate that very much.
Can I make some points here?
Is there a note?
I want to just say about the Bhagavad Gita, whoever has asked a question about the doubt about the Bhagavad Gita being distorted. So there are many editions of Bhagavad Gita distorted, but I want to make this sure to let them know that Bhagavad Gita as it is, it's not a distorted, because we can see within the 12 years it brought the result all over the world. So we want to celebrate.
So, someone had a question, how do you know the Gita is not distorted? Well, this particular edition, Bhagavad Gita as it is, the proof that it is not distorted is the results of how it has spread the pure Krishna Bhakti all over the world. In all the continents of the world, this movement is firmly established. That's the proof that these are undistorted teachings of Krishna.
Bhagavad Gita has
this. Pas changer, c'est parce que ce prêt, c'est sa façon qu'il fait, et pas oublier sa façon qu'il fait à le port sur le monde. Hein, ça, ce prêt, parce qu'il dit une chose qui est dans la vie qui pure, qui n'a pas fait peine après le changement là-dedans. Parce que ce qu'il fait, il trouve lui.
Bhagavad Gita had been existing for the last 5,000 years, and it was in India, but we hardly see many devotees. But this Bhagavad Gita, as it is, is made Krishna conscious devotees who has taken up and given up their bad habits and taken up Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Bhagavad Gita existed in Sankinon, in Krishna Chivini, which is in Hindi. And if you Bhagavad Gita, even Bhagavad Gita can translate in English, sans aucun changement, quand je t'ai dit, moi, qui fait comment se parle Bhagavad Gita, comment suivre Bhagavad Gita, il commence à jouer à l'Iskand.
Any other points?
Yes. If anybody wants a bona fide edition of Bhagavad Gita, then they should consult with this Bhagavad Gita as it is, and no other edition.
If anyone wants a bona fide Bhagavad Gita that is undistorted, then read Bhagavad Gita as it is by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Did we bring any tonight? We should have two or three cases with us. We didn't bring any? Oh, that was a mistake. Why we didn't bring? We should have two or three cases. Everybody can go home with the Gita as it is tonight. Okay, so that's it. We'll stop here. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
This is Vishnu Prashandas Adhikari Maharaj ki
jai.